First, it was I believe it was the sausage patties that brought us to the crux of the conversation, but no. It's amazing to me, it still amazes me when people pray and when God answers specifically in ways that you couldn't account for. And when he does that, I've so grown accustomed to saying, that's so awesome. And the peace that comes with answer to prayer is amazing. You may want to try it sometime. You may want to try talking to God specifically about the will of God for your life. I'm not talking about, you know, doing the will of God sometimes and then sometimes not, or most of the time not. I'm not talking about that kind of life. I'm not talking about one step forward, eight steps back kind of life. I'm talking about saying, God, I've decided to follow Jesus. And because I've done that, I want to do whatever you want me to do, and I want to stay doing those right things. Righteousness is defined as consistent right living. And I think there's probably too many Christians out of the will of God because they're not consistent enough in their right living. I've said for many years for parents who are struggling with children who are disobedient and rebellious, or they have a bad attitude, I say, you know, the only consistent thing in the Christian home today is inconsistency. Especially in the way of discipline. It's not consistent every single day. It's not the same steady pace of love and grace every single day. And the same thing can be said just about the Christian life. The only consistent thing in the Christian life is the inconsistent Christian life. And yet we wonder why we have so many double-minded thoughts, or why we, what we would say is fall into sin, which I don't believe in that. And it's just because we won't keep our heart diligently every day. And then when you come across somebody who is doing those things, and they are acting by faith because they're praying by faith, it blows everybody away because they don't understand it, because they're not doing this, making the same choices. So it seems just unbelievable thing, and yet for Brother Heller, it's the perfect thing, it's the next thing, it's the right thing, and so I always try to remind our church of this one phrase: we can never be afraid of the will of God. We can never be afraid of the will of God, because he's the one that works all things together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And Brother Heller would say, I want to be a part of God's purpose, and wherever he wants me to be, that's where I want to be. And so I've asked him to come tonight as opposed to next Wednesday night and just kind of share what the Lord's been doing on his heart. And I hope that you'll lend his ear, and I hope that you'll encourage him tonight. Brother Heller, why don't you come?
Thank you, Pastor. It's a blessing to be able to share just what God has been doing in my heart over the past few months and since we've been here and before we've been here, really. Answer prayer, as Pastor just touched on that. Joy and I have seen God just answer some very specific prayers. And before we start, let's start in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and just want to thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for the church home that we have. Thank you for a place that we can meet together. I am so thankful for the local church and the blessing that it has been in my life. And thank you for your protection. I thank you for the growth that we have had, the progress. And I thank you for new families coming and for providing for us, for providing for our church financially to give to missions. And Lord, I thank you for the preaching that has come from the pulpit that has grown us and grown me. Lord, I pray you'd use me right now to be a blessing to your people. We love you, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I share tonight, there's a lot of mixed emotions, a lot of different emotions, because God has put on my wife and I's heart to go back to Illinois, back to where I was, where I'm from. But also, this is... we want to be here, but we want to be there. We love this church, and we love the people here. And over the next few moments, I'm going to share with you a few things in the mission field that God has called us to, the process in which God used in that. I want to talk about the local church and how it's been a blessing in my life and heart, and how I believe it can be in yours too. And I hope this message is a blessing to you too, to learn a little bit more about the local church, and to appreciate it more. And God, that's what God has put on my heart tonight to talk about. And also, in closing, how you can pray for us in this transition. But the mission field, where God has called us to. And everybody has, you know, hometown, where they're from. Maybe it's here, maybe it's there. Mine might be a little bit different than yours. I have, as my wife and I were counting, she was telling me the numbers. I have about 200 relatives, including like close relatives, that's cousins and their children and things. And there's so many of us. And when we have Christmas time, we have to rent out a school. There's so many kids and they can't keep up. And a lot of people back there, a lot of people that are not reached. And friends, acquaintances. And I left there for the Army it was in 2007, and I left for the Army, and I left behind a testimony of sin and an ungodly lifestyle. And since then, God has brought us back, and brought me back, and then when we got married, brought us back. And they have watched me change by the grace of God. And if you can, open up your Bible, we'll turn to one passage, and then I'll be reading from some scriptures. Some different scriptures tonight, but open up to Mark chapter 5, and that'll help me to explain what God has been doing. Mark chapter 5, verse 18. It's the story of the maniac of Gadara. Mark 5, verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And I know the will of God is different for every person. Often Jesus says, you know, leave back, don't go home. He says, follow me. But in this case, he says, go home to thy friends and tell them. And that's what God wants me to do right now. He wants me to go back. We have been going back. When I first went back after getting saved, and I share with many of you how I got saved, shared my testimony, getting saved in Iraq and how I went back home. And I shared with the Heller family. There was 40 or 50 people. God gave me, he just gave me extra grace at this moment of time. He wanted me to publicly tell them that I got saved and how they could be saved, and just to ask me. And I didn't really know what to say. I meant to tell them to read the book of John, and I said, read 1 John, it'll tell you how to be saved. And I didn't, but I just knew God wanted me to tell them, and I told them, and it was very awkward. It was just quiet, and everybody's just sitting there looking at me, and I was looking at them, and then one person took a step, walked inside, and the next person, and I've tried to witness, and I've had a lot more in the beginning zeal than knowledge, and I've tried to witness to my mom and my brothers and sisters and friends, and honestly, they didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to think. They didn't know what Bible college was. That when I said I'm a Christian now, all they know is Catholicism or nothing, you know, and through the years, by the grace of God, I've grown in the Lord and been able to go back again and again to where my family, they accept who we are. In fact, they like the new me. I'm happier now. They saw before, and they see you can be happy without being influenced with alcohol. They see our family. They see us living for the Lord, and you can tell it's people just watching, and God's telling us, let your light so shine. And I'm so thankful for the preparation and for the times when God said, no, don't go back, don't go back. And I'll share some more in here and how God has led in that process. But the Lord knew that my wife and I, at the end of Bible college, well, it was actually before Bible college was over, my wife and I were praying about starting a church in Galena. We weren't sure, and God closed that door. We sought counsel, prayer, and God said no. So we're like, okay, whatever you want us to do. And through counsel and prayer, God clearly led us up here to Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. And we needed this place. Our tacklings, if you've heard Brother Stentz's message, they weren't tight yet. and we needed to learn some things. And I'm so thankful. Here's a few things that I wanted to share with you that I've learned. The importance of the local church. I've learned a lot right from this pulpit from Pastor Haynes talking about the local church. And I went to 4 years of Bible college classes, but there were some things that we were missing. We learned how to better our marriage, to strengthen our marriage, watching Pastor and Mrs. Haynes. And also raising our children biblically and intentionally. When we first came, it was Wednesday nights when Pastor was teaching about raising children. And, I mean, he even sat down here and Parker, I can't remember who it was, bend over his leg and teach how to do that process and do it right. And what I've found is when we do it right, my kids, man, Jude just, he's right by my side. I love you, Daddy. And it's amazing when you do it how God says to do it. So I thank the Lord, first of all, but I thank you, Pastor, for shepherding us, for teaching us, for your guidance, for your counsel, for your correction, and just helping. I mean, when you, anybody fresh out of Bible college, and I didn't have a Christian background before Bible college, but anybody fresh out of Bible college, you just kind of looking around, you don't know, and I mean, just to give you... When I first came, I thought this was the only bathroom. I didn't know that. I was like, wow, these urinals are small. I was going that for like 2 weeks, you know? I had no idea. And I'm just thankful for you guys just being patient with me, and especially Pastor. I mean, I didn't know anything and do this and do that. And everybody's just so gracious and patient when I'd ask people, can you help me with this? Can you help me with the grounds? Sure, I would love to, Brother Bernard. I mean, I could go... All down the line of all the people that have helped, the count teams. I mean, this has been an awesome place for us. But so I thank the Lord. I thank our pastor. I thank you, church. So the mission field, it's Galena, Illinois, 3,500 people, very historic little town from Civil War time period. And Ulysses S. Grant, his home is there. And it used to be a booming town. A lot of people used to come in from Chicago. Now it's just a lot of tourists that come in and see it. It's what you call a quaint little town. But there's a lot of lost people there. And the types of people that I know better are like my family. And they're tight-knit family groups to where when you're on the outside, it's hard to get in. And they're very close. The religious background, most of them, it's mostly works-based religion, whether Catholic or Lutheran, or it's no religion at all. And it's becoming to me more and more no religion at all because they've seen the hypocrisy. They've seen there's nothing that the Catholic Church has to offer. And they see from their parents and others, they really don't like going for most of them. And it's just a works-based, dead religion. And we just had our missions conference, and you know, you see things like that on the screens and the videos, and there's billions of souls and billions of, you know, of people out there. And my wife and I have always been open, whatever, you know, God wants us to do. But this is the people that, and when we first came up, it was, all right, this is where you want us to go. It's not short term, we're coming here, we're leaving. No, we're coming to Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, and we're leaving. And if God wants us to go, he'll make it very clear, and he'll work through our pastor. We prayed that specifically, and God has done just that. But we had here in mind, but God began to work in our hearts. Galena, Illinois, the people that we have seen, the people that we've been around, the people that I feel accountable to, the people that I know that are lost. And we've been open to wherever. But I know them, and I've become more and more burdened, especially through deaths in the family and things like that, and deaths of friends. And secondly, I want to share with you the process, and I'll get into that. The process that God used to lead us there. God is not the author of confusion. He leads very clearly. And this part of the message and talking about the local church, I hope will be a help to you whenever you are seeking God and any decisions, but especially making big decisions or big transitions in your life, you just can't make a mistake in those areas. So I have five written down here that I hope that you'll use and take. You'll use them at one time in your life. God works through circumstances. God works through circumstances. God has allowed us to go back there. He's allowed me every year at least, and sometimes even more than that. And my eye hath affected my heart. And going back the first time was like, whoa, after I got saved, like went back in the Catholic Church and I went to a mass and I was like, whoa, it just gripped my heart because I saw this and that and the praying to Mary and the taking the elements that they believe turn into the body of Christ and the blood of Christ and makes you sad. And learning more and more truth and more doctrine, and you go home again and again. It's like, oh, man. So through circumstances, seeing the broken families, not broken, I mean like divorce. Divorce in my family is looked at, it's frowned upon, so it's really not, it's not very popular around there. But the couple will stay together, and they'll be unhappy. And you just want to tell them, like, you just need this. You just need the Bible. It tells you how to do it. It tells you how to raise your kids. And if you have unsaved family members, you know what I'm talking about. You want to witness, but sometimes there's that barrier up. You just have to wait for God to bring them and to work on their hearts to where, the point where they're ready to hear the Word of God and hear the truth. So broken families. And the main one I wanted to talk about was the circumstance was a death. My cousin Nick passed away in January, and that's the one I flew back to. And that was very difficult for me because I grew up with him. I was very close with him, and we were buds, first cousins. And when someone dies close to you around you, you always think, like, where did they go, and what did I do? And I knew I could have done more, and I really had a difficult time with that. And since that moment, since that time of his death, I went back there. And praise the Lord, I had my closest friend Mike get saved at the funeral right after I got to talk to him. And I praise the Lord for that. God is so good. But since that time that Nick passed, God has been stirring my heart for those people. Because when he passed, they came and people were looking to me and some were asking questions. The one I'm going to work for or with, one of my good friends, which was one of Nick's best friends, Nick, the one that died, he's a big guy. His name's Brett. His dad owns a construction company. He came up to me. He's just like weeping and his shaved head. He's just looking at me. He's about this tall. He's like, dude, what happened? What happened? What happened? And I tried to tell him, but he just wasn't ready. So, and I know this, like I said, this might sound kind of crazy. I mean, I don't know how to explain to people, but I believe God can answer specifically. I'm not going to work for anybody else. I've been offered jobs already. I don't want to. There's ministry opportunity. That doesn't matter. You have to go where God wants you. And I believe God wants me to go to work with that man. And if it's for one soul, so be it. So just, if you can pray for me through that. Amos, it's worth it just for one, whatever God wants to do, just do it. Amos was a man in Minor Prophets, in Bible college. I love studying the Minor Prophets. And we got to Amos, and I was like, oh man, this is cool. He's a farm boy like me. And he was he was a farm boy from Tekoa. And he was a gatherer of sycamore fruits, and he was in the southern kingdom, Judea, and he would go to the northern kingdom, and he would take his wool and fruit up there, and he would sell it. And he kept going up there, and he kept going up there, and his eye affected his heart, and he got a burden. And God called him to go back there and go up there and preach to them, and that's what he did. And Amos 7:14-15 says, "Then answered Amos, and said to Amos, and say it to Amos." Excuse me. "Then answer Amos and say it to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. And after visiting my hometown many times, especially the last time, God just said, go. It wasn't right then, because I knew God wanted me here, but God was preparing me through my time in reading and prayer to go there, and my time here, he was preparing me for that place. Paul had a burden. Romans 9, 1 through 3, and Romans 10, 1 through 3 are very similar. He said, I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Romans 10, 1, brethren, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And when you see that, when you're close to people, when you have coworkers and people that you're around, and you see what they're doing, and you're like, what are you doing? And you have the truth, man, it should want you to just like share that. And Paul was saying, these are my countrymen, these are my kin, these are my people, and I just got saved on the roads of Damascus. I want to tell them. He did everything in his power to tell them. He had a burden. Do you have a burden for people to be saved? And I know after watching videos and things at Missions Conference, we get excited and we want to do more. We want to give. That's good. That is awesome. But oftentimes, God will speak to you about the person right next to you, the person that you work with, right alongside, because they need the Lord. So God speaks through circumstances. Number two, God speaks through the Bible. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When my cousin Nick passed away, I started a journal, and I've wrote things down here and there, and I've heard so many messages, so many preachers say, you need a journal, you need a journal. Well, I finally started, and it's been a great benefit to me. And I encourage you to do it too. When the Lord speaks to you through the Word of God, write that down, or write that verse down. There's tremendous blessing that will come from memorizing the Word of God and writing it down. And I hope you keep a journal, because God will speak to you through that. And many, many, many verses that I've wrote down, I share with joy, that God has used specifically to point me through this process to go back there. Number three, God speaks through prayer. The Bible says to pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you pray according to the will of God. Likewise, Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Your time in the Bible and in prayer are key to knowing and doing the will of God. And there should be a good balance between the two. Don't have just one without the other. You need to have both. And when you have both, you're going to do well. Number four, God speaks through spiritual leadership. He will lead and speak through your pastor. God uses the foolishness of preaching. This is the best place for counseling right here, is the pulpit. Don't miss church. Be here. God has led us through pastor, because like I said, when we came not with a year or two or ten. We came, we're coming, and we're staying. Yes, I've always been burdened for my family to be saved, but if it's not God's will for us to go back there, it's not God's will for us to go back there. Someone else will reach them. I'm going to pray. But we prayed when we first came, if God ever led, it would be through our pastor. And I didn't know, but God was working on my pastor's heart the same time he was working on my heart. And when we met at the Black Bear Diner that day, I was a little nervous because I was about to tell him, you know, God's leading. I haven't been here that long, but God wants us to go here and to go back and work construction. I didn't know what he would say, but God worked through my pastor. And the Bible said, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. As long as pastor's following Christ, I'm going to follow him. My last year in Bible college, I was talking about this, but it was the beginning of my last year. We were praying and asking the Lord about direction and starting a church in Illinois. And God made it a clear no. And I don't know that God will ever tell me to start a Bible study, but I find that when I try to get ahead of the Lord and take a step further, I get myself in trouble. So my wife and I, we know it's clear to the Lord, just go. And sometimes God will only show you just this, and then when you get there, I'll show you the next part. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." I believe in counsel. The times I have not sought counsel, I would get in trouble, or it would cost me headache, time, money. We tried to make it a habit, and Joy was better at this, even in Lancaster. I know Pastor Chapel is really busy, but he was our pastor, so we tried, especially her. It's like, let's just shake his hand on the way out. And I'm like, oh, we gotta go, I got homework, and I'm like, okay. But we'll run something by him really quick, even there. And that's been a blessing. And you may think, like, pastor's too busy. No, he's not. He wants to hear what's going on. And when I've involved my pastor, whether it be Pastor Chapel or my pastor in Colorado or Pastor Haynes, I've been blessed because God works through pastor. Read what the Bible says about spiritual leadership and authority. It says, remember them, obey them, they have the rule over you, and so on and so forth. When you're making decisions, seek counsel from Pastor Haynes, whether that be moving, whether that be getting a new job, just drop it by him real quick. If he wants to talk more, say, let's set up counseling. Or, pastor, will you talk to me about this? Can we sit down and meet? And I know he would love to. God has given our under-shepherd a heart to want to help people. And a pastor that knows the word of God. And it's such a great blessing to us. Number 5, God speaks through preaching. And I touched on that. The messages Joy and I have heard since we've been here have grown us in the Lord spiritually. And the latter ones have pointed us more and more to going to Illinois. He's confirmed it through the preaching. Almost 2 months ago, just before I shared with Pastor my heart at Black Bear Diner, what the Lord was doing in my heart, God used a message entitled, God Leads His People. Out of Numbers, I have it right here. Keep it in my Bible. And I have on the top, the night God called us to Illinois. Hold on to that. And the Lord was working on my heart a few days before. And that Sunday, I sat Joy down. I said, Joy, I said, babe, God wants us to go to Illinois. And I know He does. And I showed her why and what the Lord was doing and what He was pressing on my heart. And then that night, I was sitting right in the middle, and it was like God just grabbed a hold of me. And until I said, okay, I'll go. It's not that I was trying to resist going, but you don't ever want to make big decisions like that or do something foolish or in haste. And so I wrote down in this paper, I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. And I don't know what you have for me, but I'm going to go. And the Lord uses the preaching of the Word of God. And when you have those 5 things that I just talked about when making big decisions, you can't go wrong. If your heart's right with God, your heart's right with your spiritual authority, your heart's right with one another, you can't, and you're just honestly just wanting to know and do the will of God, God will lead you. Sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes you have to wait on the Lord, but He will lead you. Numbers 9:18 says, at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And that's what God, when the cloud came up, God was saying, okay, it's time for you to go. And that's our first step, to go. And to establish my family and not get, I get excited sometimes. I want to do this, I want to do that. And I want to, start a Bible study or teach these new Christians, because I need to learn, but I need to really think about my wife and my children. As I've talked to different counselors, and the overwhelming thing from what I've heard to different counselors and missionaries is, do you have a church that you go to? And that's what I'm about to talk about next, because I've needed this more than any of you probably. It's just to understand the local church and understand that I need that church. It's my protection. God works through the local church, and he wants Christians to be in it. So God has called us to go there, to live among the people, to work and live among them. As the Lord opens doors and gives utterance, we'll witness. We're going to do what Christians are supposed to do every day. And by the grace of God, we'll do that. If God calls us to do something else, to start a church, that's what we'll do. But I'm not going to try to kick down doors or do anything. From what I've learned is when God wants you to do something, he makes it very clear, very clear. But the local church, this is the last topic I want to talk about. Matthew 16:18 says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Christ built the church, and the church is there to protect us. It's our umbrella. It's what we need. It's what Christians need. And I feel that many times in Lancaster, you go door knocking, and it's like, oh yeah, I read my Bible, I pray, I kind of do my own thing. And I feel bad for the people that do that, because they don't have an understanding of the local church, a biblical understanding of it, and how it will bless them and protect them. But the word church is found 114 times in the New Testament, and it's from the Greek word ekklesia, and the definition of it is a called out assembly. 114 times, it's a called out assembly. It's a local, visible body of believers. It's not this invisible, universal, all the Christians in the world. It's the Church of Ephesus, the Church of Corinth. It's a church of Morgan Hill, Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, a body of believers, saved, baptized believers. Local New Testament churches, it's a local, autonomous, self-governing congregation of assembly believers gathered together in a given location with a common purpose. And you know what I've learned from reading the Word of Bible and being in the church? And I haven't been saved that long, but the devil hates the local church. If you destroy the local church, then people are not going to be saved, because God uses the local church. He's used it in the past. He's going to continue to use it to reach the world. It's the vehicle by which God's going to reach the world. It's not some program or this nonprofit, this or that. There's a lot of great things out there, but it's the church that's going to reach the world. That's it. That's his plan. And the devil will fight the local church. He'll fight against you. He'll fight against this church. He hates that we're praying about giving more to missionaries. He hates the missionaries. He hates the Dunbooks. He hates everything with the gospel, and especially getting the gospel around the world and to people in your neighborhood. And God uses the church. So keep in the forefront of your mind that your brothers and sisters in Christ are not your enemies. It's the devil. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we ought to pray for one another. We ought not to ever pick at one another, even if there's differences, there might be preferences. There's going to be differences. We're all different from different backgrounds and preferences. We ought not to ever pick each other. We should pray for one another, lift each other up, lift each other's burdens. Pray for pastor especially, and pray for the deacons. They need our prayers. We need each other's prayers. The local church is God's plan, and it's for us, and it's for our protection. I'll share briefly my experience with the local church. Many of you have been saved a lot longer than me. And praise the Lord if you've been in the local church and just stayed and been faithful, because I'm sure you could tell me that you've been blessed. When I first got saved in Iraq, it was different, where there was, you know, chapels with all kinds of different, there was Wiccans and Protestant and this and that in the same location. It was It was a little strange. I didn't know anything about that, but I do know that there was a group of people that gathered together for one common purpose, and we just read the Bible. We learned. We didn't. I knew the least, but I grew. I grew. I learned. And then in another place was when I went back for Fort Carson. I got baptized. I became a member at a church just outside the base, a Baptist church, and got baptized. And God blessed that. And then I went to Afghanistan. I should knew better. And I kind of wandered, and I didn't really seek out other Christians. I kind of did my own thing. Yeah, I read my Bible. I prayed. Nothing really bad happened, but nothing really good happened. I don't think I led a person to the Lord. I didn't tell that many people about the Lord. It was just kind of a stagnant time. But then there was Lancaster Baptist Church. Experienced great blessing. It wasn't just because, you know, you're hearing doctrine all. No, it's the church. Then I went off to chaplain assistant school. And the place that's supposed to be a light for the military was what I found one of the darkest places ever, where they put your God, Jesus Christ, in the same authority as all the other ones, and they want you to be silent. And I went there, and I thought, I could go off the base and find out a group of believers, or even find some on the base. There's always some Christians around to gather together, read the Bible, to pray together, lift one another up. And I'm sure there was a church right outside the base, but I decided not to. I was like, oh, I'll watch live stream. And when it was convenient, I watched it. But I went through some trials at that time, and it felt like it took about a year to get back to where all eight cylinders were fired again. It was a bad time. I went unprotected, and God taught me a lesson during that time. That's why I'm so adamant about the local church. And to illustrate that, when I was about a freshman, I was a freshman in high school, worked on a farm, we got a bull, and it was pretty small, but then it kept getting bigger and bigger. And my dad would say, don't turn your back on the bull. Don't turn your back on the bull. And I was like, yeah. And I'd have to go out and get the cows in so we could milk them. We were dairy farmers. And it was me and my dad every day after school. I would go help them. And we had a four-wheeler, but it was broke like half the time. So I had to run out the huge hay field and go and do my little jog or walk and go chase the cows in. And the bull would just follow me around. And he would go like this. So you stop. You know, you ever see him do the dig thing? And he just would go like this and snort and everything. I just kind of keep my eye on him, just keep going and keep looking and watching. Well, one day, that bull just snapped. I mean, he just went crazy. And I heard him just snort, and I could just like feel the ground, and I looked back, and he was coming. I mean, he was coming. And it's me and the bull in the field, and all the cows are in, and we're pretty much in. And I had a long way to get for protection. I've been chased by cows and bulls before, but I always had somewhere to jump in to protect myself. But this time I was in an open field, and I was running faster than like Michael Johnson. I was just running. I was running fast through that field. And I wasn't thinking at all. I was just running for my life because he was right behind me. And I forgot there was a fence, electric fence, you know, the ones with the one wire. And I was a little bit shorter, but it came up to about here on me, and I ran into that full speed, and I just went boom. I just hit the ground. And I don't know if I was there laying on the ground. I think it was just a second or two, but I kind of just rolled over and I just looked at that bull, and I'm like, I thought he was going to just like, you know, knock the fence out of the way. But that fence protected me. I would have been dead. And as I was thinking about the local church, I thought about that. You may get away with it for a little while. You step outside. Don't step outside of God's protection, God's plan. What he says in Hebrews 10:24, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I don't want to ever step outside of that. So I'm going to share in a moment some ways to pray for us, but pray that we'll get grounded in our church when we get there. Because I know if we're grounded in our church, we'll be fine. God will protect us. And my dad, he was the one that told me about that, the bull. You know, that warned me. And a few years later, when I was in Iraq, my mom called me and told me the bull got him. and he turned his back on the bull, and it knocked him down. And it was in a cow yard full of manure and wet and everything. And the bull knocked him down. He was on his back, and the bull was, I mean, it's a 2,000-pound bull, and it was a lot bigger now. And it had him like this. His head was on, the bull's head was on my dad's chest, just pushing him around the cow yard like this, pushing him all over for over an hour. And my dad tried to reach for his pocket knife to try to like gouge his eyes out or something, and it fell out of his pocket. And my dad, from what they told me, he was able to get on his hands and knees, and then the bull got underneath his belly and picked him up and threw him over the fence, over the gate, which is about this tall. And the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We should not schedule our lives around, we should be scheduling our lives around the local church, not scheduling the church around our lives. The church is God's plan. And I just challenge you and encourage you to be faithful to the church. And lastly, I just want to ask, number four, just how you could pray for us before we leave. Pray for this transition. There's a few things to do, but before we go, but God's just working out. It's being done. And I know we'll leave on the 15th. But the transition for when we get to Illinois, I'm used to the area back there. Joy is not as used to it. Jude and Lizzie, I think they'll be better. They'll have cats to chase, and they'll have dogs, and they'll have tractors. And but pray for us in that we'll get our priorities straight right away, and that we'll reach people. Please pray for my grandpa. When Pastor was sharing prayer requests, I kept thinking of my grandpa. We're getting messages, text messages, every few days. And it seems like God's just holding him and my grandma until we get back there. It's just like, man, when are we going to get a call? And I've witnessed to my grandpa before, and he got very angry with me. So just if you could pray for my grandpa. And my grandparents, all four of them are still alive. My grandpa Heller, my grandma Heller. Just pray for a softening there and a window of opportunity to witness, kind of like Mrs. Florschinger. So pray for us there. So pray for salvations. Pray for people to be saved and discipled. One verse kind of just to grasp it, verses in book of Colossians, pray that God would open unto us a door of utterance that we may speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, that we may walk in wisdom toward them that are without, and that our speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. And you know how it is if you have family members or people that you know, it's very touchy sometimes. And there's times when I know, I believe the Lord said, no, don't witness. And that's rarely rare. Normally it's, you know, but when it comes to brothers and sisters, the Bible says a brother offended is harder to be one than a strong city. And I've done some of that, offending, but it's been a long time, and God has prepared people's hearts, and I believe Joy and I said, I think there's some people just ready to be picked, ready to be saved. So just pray for that, and pray for God's protection, and pray for, again, just that we'll get grounded in that church. So thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church, for allowing me to share. I hope that was a help to you. I know it might have been a bit choppy, but there was a couple things that the Lord laid on my heart, just that he's taught me times of transition that I hope would be a help to you, and then the local church and how it's been a blessing to me. Hope it's been a blessing to you, and just thank you again for this time, Pastor.
Man, that was awesome. I felt like I was watching Brent Hawley reincarnated all over again there for a little while. It's obvious to me that Brother Heller has grown. He's grown in grace, and everything he said, for the record, I did not tell him to say. I had no idea what he was going to say, and that's the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And the truth is that it is always relevant to God's people, and we always need to be reminded of it. So praise the Lord. Hey, listen, don't answer it out loud. Do you want the will of God for your life? Man, if you do, it's right there. God is not going to be hiding it under some table or digging in some backyard and making you have to go through a bunch of hoops to find it. He wants you to find it. But you're not going to find it without being in the Word of God. You're not going to find it without prayer. You're certainly not going to find it without the Holy Spirit's help and without preaching and around, without being right with the Lord. And all of those things, and many of us... many of us, if we're not careful, we'll just say, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not that big of a deal. It's the biggest deal in your life. Doing everything that you know to do that God wants you to do so that he can show you what's next to do. And that's where Brother Heller is. I appreciate everything that he said, and I'm so grateful. It was all spot on. That was beautiful, and praise the Lord for that. Let's stand.